Now we're on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, and we did the Mishnah, we started the Gemara, and we got up to the following. Let's see if we count down in the wide lines. 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 5 lines down. So the Mishnah established, if you recall, that with the exception of Kriyas HaMegillah, where the din is makadimim, in the other mitzvahs, if Shabbos coincides and therefore, shall we say, trumps the mitzvah, bumps the mitzvah, then the opposite is what we do. We do ma'achach. And amongst that list, we have Tisha B'Av. Yesterday we spoke a little bit more about the Karban Eitzim. But as far as Tisha B'Av is concerned, you may recall that on this line, which is the 5th of the wide lines, it says Akdume Paranusa Lo Makdime, that since the commemoration of Tisha B'Av is for all the destruction that took place, and that's called Paranus, so we have a principle that we don't want to make it earlier, it's bad enough if we make it later. And yesterday we mentioned that there's a Tosus Yontif here on this Gemara. You may have it here in your note. I don't know if he refers to the Tosus Yontif. And he says that why didn't the Gemara just simply say the reason why Tisha B'Av has to be postponed till the 10th of Av is because Adayin Lo Higi Zmano. I mean, the time is 9, so the 8th would be meaningless. So he says the following, that in fact the Goyim entered into the Heichal as early as the 7th of Av, and therefore would have made sense logically, if not for this principle that the Gemara is activating, that we would have been makdim Tisha B'Av, we would have fasted on the 8th, and that would not be considered Kodim Zmano because the tragedy is already, how shall I say, are in full motion, and therefore we need this reasoning called Akadume Parnusa Lo Makdimino. Okay. Now, here I want to share with you something that I found in the Yalkut HaBi'urim. And before we see it inside, I just want to point out that when we push off Tisha B'Av till the 10th of Av, in the case where the 10th of Av is on Sunday, there are basically two ways of understanding that. One way is to say that Tisha B'Av remains Tisha B'Av even on Shabbos, just that we cannot fast and we cannot exhibit any avelus on Shabbos. The outward avelus of on Shabbos, a show of avelus, what we call nihuge avel, would be antithetical to the spirit of Shabbos. But Tisha B'Av remains Tisha B'Av, and the avelus is really inherent in the day. Just that befall, in order to fulfill that fast, we're going to push it off until Sunday. The other way is to saying it, no, that we just, it's like a crane that we just simply lift and pick up Tisha B'Av from the 9th of Av and we place it down on the 10th of Av. So given that introduction, I want to read to you what he says over here. Now if you can, you might find a Rashi, Dibra Maschil Avol Zman. Yeah, do you find such a Rashi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Amar b'Masechet Tanis.
Yeah. So you want to read the Rashi out loud?
Amar b'Masechet Tanis, Shachay Meshpacha, Shal Yisrael, K'chakavua lehem yomim, Kol Shana, Mehavi Eitzim la'mikdash, Letzorcha ma'alocha.
Right.
Mehivim korban Eitzim imohem, korban Eitzim imohem. Mcholios b'Shabbes. This is, I guess, the important part here. Mcholios b'Shabbes me'acherin the yom mocha.
Now here we get to the punchline.
Okay, right. B'chein Tisha B'Av shecholios b'Shabbes. Lo'ad in the yud zayim v'tamos b'aros abatevis.
So stop here for just a minute. So Rashi postulates that just like in Tisha B'Av, we push off Tisha B'Av if it overrides with Shabbos to Sunday, the same law and the same principle applies to both Shivasa B'Tamuz and Asar B'Tevis. So so this Asar B'Tevis is going to be a big to do. But in any event, Shivasa B'Tamuz will be commemorated with a fast on Sunday, which would be the 18th of Tamuz. We'll come back to Asar B'Tevis a little later. So now Rashi is faced with a problem, because the Mishnah here on Daf Hey only mentions Tisha B'Av. And in fact, this is not a special din in Tisha B'Av. It applies to basically all fasts. Again, when I say all fasts, I mean fasts that commemorate destruction and exile. Oh, so now let's read the next part of Rashi. So Rashi invokes this principle called Huchpalu Bo Tzoros. I mean, other fast days commemorate one or more than one Tzoros, but in Tisha B'Av it's Huchpalu Bo Tzoros. Over and over again throughout the history of the Jewish people, catastrophes befall the people on Tisha B'Av. And now he invokes a sugya in Masechta Rosh Hashanah.
I call him Mesanin Bo.
Because of this principle of Huchpalu Bo Tzoros, therefore everybody fasts on Tisha B'Av. Well, what, is there a Havamina that not everyone would fast? And the answer is yes, there's a very serious Havamina that not everyone would fast on Tisha B'Av. That's what Rashi says in the next line. And the Gemara Rosh Hashanah establishes a principle that if we're not really suffering at that particular period of time in history from a tzara, right, it's not an ace milchama, you know, they're not attacking us, then the fast itself is a matter of voluntary acceptance. And it could be that some will accept upon themselves that fast, some will not accept themselves the fast. But that's only true with regard to other tzomos, like Yudzayim B'Tamuz or Asar B'Tevis. But with regard to Tisha B'Av, we have a special principle called Huchpalu Bo Tzoros, and therefore Kulam Mis'anim. We all fast. So let's read this summary of Rashi here in the back of the Masifta in Yalkut Birurim. He says, Kosav Rashi Shekmoshe Nokeratana Tisha B'Av Yochol Linkot Gam Yudzayim B'Tamuz V'Asor B'Tevis U'Mashe Nokeratana Tisha B'Av Mishum Shehuchpulo B'Otzoros V'Akol Mis'anin Bo Mashenkin B'Shar Tzomos Rotzu Mis'anin Lo Rotzu Ein Mis'anin Kavonis Rashi B'Zel Divri HaGemara Rosh Hashanah Yudches Amid Beis. The Gemara asks a question. Maksha Al Divri HaMishnah, the Mishnah says that Al Shisha Chadoshim Hashluchim Yotzim. And what happens is that we have to make sure that the people know about Rosh Chodesh so they can commemorate certain days in that month. And there are 6 months that are enumerated in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. In order to tell the people, you're going to have to, in the case, for example, of Nisan, you know, on the 15th of Nisan, you'll have to commemorate it as Pesach. And on the list of 6 months is the month of Av. Al-Av mipnei atainis. So the Gemara asks the following question. Why do you mention Av and single that out because of the fast of Tisha B'Av? Madu ein shluchim yotzim gam b'tamuz v'teves. In other words, the people have to know about the 10th of Teves, the 17th of Tammuz. So the Gemara answers that Sharat Somos, all the other fasts, Hoel Ubizman She'ein Malchei Umos Ha'olam Gozrim Gzeres Al Yisrael, if during a historical period in Jewish history there's relative quiet, which means that they're not running after us to try to shmadzach, you know, to try to make us give up our religion. So he says, in such a case, Rotsu Mis'anin, Lo Rotsu Lo Mis'anin. Now, even though the Migdash is no longer here, and that itself should warrant us commemorating all the tragic days that led up to the Churban Abayis, we have to commemorate the Churban Abayis. We can't forget the destruction of the Migdash. But nevertheless, since there's no Gzeros Al Yisrael, therefore the fast days become voluntary. And since the fast days are voluntary, we're not going to go through this whole tircha, this whole hullabaloo, to send out the shluchim for those months of Tammuz and Tevez. Avol Tisha B'Av, when it comes to the month of Av, the Mishnah says we're going to go through the entire hassle of sending out the shluchim. Hoel lehuchbulo potzaros, and therefore shluchim yotzim al chodesh Av. So basically, what we've seen now is a little bit of the background from the Sugyan Rosh Hashanah, which Rashi quotes here. Ubi Me'iri Kosav. The Me'iri adds the following. Shapirishu, Shekemet Shehuchbulu Hatzoros, Eino Toli Birtzonon. This is not a voluntary fast. We're not going to ask, do you want to fast or you're not? Elohu Chiv Tmidi Lisanosbo. Over all generations, we have an absolute unconditional obligation to fast on Tisha B'Av, even if it's a period of time in which there's no Gzeras and no Tzoros and Klalis. That's the Shita of the Me'iri, and that seems to be the Shita of Rashi here in interpreting Huchbalo Botzoros. But now we get to the Shita Sarajba. Harashba Kosov, Shagam B'Tisha B'Av Tolui Imrotzu Vimlorotzu. The Rashba goes ahead and he says that even Tisha B'Av is a conditional fast, and we either accept it or we don't accept it. Ella, so what does it mean when the Gemara says Huchbalo Botzoros, and therefore they send out the Shluchim? He says, Lachain Ratsu Kuli Alma Vekiblu Alehem. That as a matter of fact, they voluntarily accepted upon themselves Tisha B'Av. So here's the difference between the Me'iri and the Rashba. The Me'iri says that Tisha B'Av is totally voluntary. Why? Because we're living in a period of time where there's no Gzeros against Klal Yisrael. So Ratsu Misanin, Lo Ratsu Lo Misanin. And I'm sorry, that's the Shita of the Rashba. I meant to say the Rashba. Let's go back to the Me'iri. The Me'iri says no, that because of this principle called Huchbulo Botzoros with regard to Tisha B'Av, it's no longer voluntary. It's an absolute unconditional Chiv. Everybody has to fast on Tisha B'Av. The Rashba is the one who says no, since there's no Gzeres of Klal Yisrael at this point, therefore it's all voluntary. However, Huchbulo Botzoros means that we accept it upon ourselves voluntarily to fast on Tisha B'Av. And everybody accepted it upon themselves. And therefore the Shluchim Yotzim, because we're all commemorating the terrible tragedies of Huchbulo Botzoros on Tisha B'Av. And basically this whole concept of Ratzu or Lo Ratzu reminds us of various minhagim, that there are takanos which Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves, and that's not a question of Ratzu and Lo Ratzu. But yet, there are minhagim, right? There are minhagim, which are voluntary. Now listen to this. Can you marry two women? So it works like this. The Ashkenazim cannot marry two women because of Cherem D'Rabbein Gershom. However, the Sfaradim never accepted upon themselves Cherem D'Rabbein Gershom, but the Ritva writes in the Masechta Ksuvos that the Sfaradim voluntarily accepted upon themselves not to marry two wives. So in other words, whereas a Cherem has the tokef of an enactment and it's no longer voluntary, in the case of a Minog, which is not, doesn't have the teeth of a Cherem, that depends upon Ratzu v'lo Ratzu. So it comes out now that according to the Rashba, even Tisha B'Av itself is only a minug. However,
that's a strange, strange view, isn't it? It really is.
So what's going to be the nafka mina? So he says the following: L'shita sameiri Tisha B'Av bizman hazeh chiyuvo midivrei kabbalah v'chomer tfei. In other words, there's no question of did we accept it or do we not accept it. It's totally compulsory, and it has the status of Divrei Kabbalah. And Divrei Kabbalah means based on Zechariah Novi, who mentions these fast days. And in the case of Tisha B'Av, it's no longer voluntary. That's according to the Shita Sameiri, because it's not voluntary. However, Amnam L'Rashba, Chiyuva Hu Rak Mitzad Kabbalah Shekivlu Alehem. It's only because they accepted it upon themselves, and therefore it doesn't have that chumrah. So we begin to understand, at least according to the Rashba, how we can fast on the 10th of Av in the case where Shabbos was on the 9th of Av. That's a cinch. because even though that day might not be invested in, with the status of Tisha B'Av, but nevertheless Tisha B'Av itself is only a Kabbalah that we accepted upon ourselves. But according to the Meiri, that it's Midirei Kabbalah, meaning it's according to the Tanakh itself obligates us in Tisha B'Av, that's called Huchbalo Botzaros, then the whole enterprise of pushing off Tisha B'Av to the next day is a little problematic. Unless we're going to say that the Rabbanim made it a t'nai, so to speak, a condition in their original enactment, and when the Mechayev us in Tisha B'Av, they said the following. You have two possible days of commemorating Tisha B'Av. It's either on the 9th of Av or the 10th of Av. So therefore we might lift the entire enterprise of Tisha B'Av and place it down on the 10th of Av.
How, well, would be the half a minute to think you could do Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. You have things on Shabbos, you're using... Have assays of Shabbos that you be doche. I mean, there's the kiyum of Shabbos by Tisha B'Av. We don't Yom Kippur. We have a psukim to tell us that we don't have anything for a Tisha B'Av. So right. What's the avamin to say?
Right. It's just pshita. Only thing that's not pshita is whether or not we make it on the 8th of Av, says the Tosis Yontif, because already the oven went into the Heichal. Or should we push it off to the 10th of Av? So the Gemara activates a new principle called Akdume Paranosa Lo Makdamina. But if not for that principle, who knows when we would sell it? Like you say very well, you know, it's not Shaykh to fast on Shabbos. Now there is such a thing as a fast on Shabbos, and that's called Tainus Chalom. But the Rama adds when he explains that you're allowed to fast on Shabbos because he had a bad dream, he says Ketainu Gulo. That for him, fasting is considered an oneg. It's a wild idea that fasting could be considered an oneg. So for this person, in that particular situation, his kiyum of oneg Shabbos is by fasting. That's a paradox. But in the case of Tisha B'Av, where clearly we're fasting a fast of avelus, that's completely antithetical to Shabbos. But if I were to tell you that even when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, Tisha B'Av is still Tisha B'Av. For example, we have a minhag amongst Ashkenazim, and we read on such a Shabbos, we read Chazon. And part of Chazon is read in the Nigin of Eicha. I mean, isn't that antithetical to Shabbos? So there may be vestiges of Tisha B'Av even on Shabbos. Now that would make more sense according to Sfaradim. What do I mean? Every Avelus has Shabbos in it, because by definition it's got 7 days. So the question is there Nichum Avelim on Shabbos? Have you ever seen Nichum Avelim on Shabbos?
No.
Here in this neighborhood, you'll see it. If you go by certain homes, Rachman al-Utslan, if they're sitting Shiva, on Shabbos, you'll see people gathering at the house. You know it's a Sephardic house. Because Ashkenazim don't allow any expression of Avelus. Even on Friday night, before Kabbalah Shabbos, they make sure to do the Nichum Avelim, and then they say, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Right. Sfaradim is not like that. Sfaradim feel that since we count Shabbos as one of the seven, it's Ola L'Minyan, it means that inherently Shabbos also is called a Yom Avel. So we don't have Avelus Befoal, but we still consider it a Yom Avel, and there are two nafkaminas. One nafkamina is that it's counted L'Minyan for the Malos of Shiva, and the second nafkamina is that the Sfaradim allow Nichum Avelim on Shabbos. We don't allow Nichum Avelim on Shabbos, the Sfaradim have it.
Ask you a question about practice in the shul, right? Why daven is when somebody isn't avelus and comes to shul, they don't just wait until Hamam Menachem Israel after the Chododi, they come in right away before Kabbalah Shabbos.
Makes sense, because they hold that even before we say Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, with the Chododi we're accepting the Shabbos. Now the bad news is that if you hold like that, let's say, if, I'm giving you just one example, in the summer months, if you have an early Ma'ariv, so then the moment that the Tzibur sings L'chadodi, at that point, you're not allowed to do Malach. And the poskim write that Tanai doesn't work over here. Why? Because there's something called Kabbalas HaTzibur. So if you're part of a tzibur and they accept Shabbos, so I'd rather accept Shabbos with Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos.
Right.
But if you're accepting Shabbos with Chadodi, then it becomes, Eric asked me to take the shield. Then it becomes, here, Moshe, I have a spot for you.
Oh, right here. Okay.
Yeah. I want you to warm me up here. It's a little chilly.
Okay.
So let me just read to you, thank you, the Taz over here. He says, the Taz says the following. that Tisha B'Av nechshav l'divrei kabbalah v'chamur kishel Torah. Now, the Sakach Amar Rebbe called the Avnei Nezer quotes this Taz, who says that Tisha B'Av is considered as chomer as a doraisa, because divrei kabbalah is not like a regular derabbanan, and since Zechariah Novi already codifies Tisha B'Av, therefore it has the status of a doraisa. So the Avnei Nezer, after quoting this Taz, he says, but what about the Rashba? The Rashba says that Tisha B'Av is dependent upon Rotsu Misanim, Lo Rotsu Lo Misanim, that it's all voluntary. Why? Because we're not living in a time of Tzara. And in effect, we accepted upon ourselves Tisha B'Av, but that's only a voluntary acceptance. And the reason we accepted upon ourselves Tisha B'Av is because Huchbulo Tzara, so many calamities took place on Tisha B'Av. And the Nafgemina is that the Avnei Nezer wanted to establish the following kulos. This is mind-boggling. That on Tisha B'Av, the Bala Bris, meaning the father of the child who has to have a bris on Tisha B'Av, or the Sandik, that Eino Mashlimim Atainis, they don't have to complete the Tainis. Right? A bris generates what's called the Sudas Mitzvah. And the question is, could that Sudas Mitzvah override Tisha B'Av? I've never seen this.
I have.
You've seen where they eat on a Tainis, on Tisha B'Av? Wow, I never saw it.
I mean, I'd only learn if it's on the Yud Av, not if it's on...
Oh, excellent. Okay, yeah. So you're one step ahead of me. Yeah. He's talking about Tisha B'Av itself. Okay? And he's not talking about Shabbos. He's talking about a classical case of Tisha B'Av. And the Avnei Nezer, the Sakach Amar Rebbe, and I'm wondering if in certain Hasidic circles they practice this. The Sandik and the Baal HaBris is allowed to eat, and he doesn't have to complete the entire Tainus. And why is that? Because he bases himself on the Rashba. If we accept the Rashba, then Tisha B'Av in our time, because there's no Xeris against God, so it's only self-accepted if it's voluntary. If it's voluntary, we could be Mekil. If, on the other hand, we take the Me'iri, and the Taz apparently accepted the view of the Me'iri, that Tisha B'Av, even Bizman Azeb, because of Huchbulo Botzoros, the Shluchim Yotzim, because it's not a question of Ratzu or Lo Ratzu, but it's Midivrei Kabbalah, and Divrei Kabbalah, Kidivrei Torah Domi. And therefore, how can you imagine anyone eating on Tisha B'Av? So comes along John, and he says, well, what about our case, where Tisha B'Av fell on Shabbos, and now we're pushing off Tisha B'Av till Sunday? Could it be that now everybody would agree that the Divrei Kabbalah falls apart? Meaning that Divrei Kabbalah would only apply, according to the Rashba, on a weekday, but not on Shabbos. So if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, then we have to completely remove Tisha B'Av, and now we're going to commemorate it on the 10th of Av. Oh, if it's the 10th of Av, it's no longer Divrei Kabbalah. Hence the minhag that the Baal HaBris and the Sanda could eat on Sunday. And this brings us back to our original Chakira that we started with. What happens when we push off Tisha B'Av? Do we assume that the entire enterprise of Tisha B'Av is now Chal on the 10th of Av? Well, no. Tisha B'Av remains Tisha B'Av. It's just that we fast on the 10th of Av. Obviously, if you take the latter approach, then there's a lot more room to be making. Okay, Rabbi, so now what's the exception to the rule? Which mitzvah, postponing it, if it falls on Shabbos, we're makdim it? We only know of one case, and what's that?
Megillah.
Kriyas HaMegillah. Okay, we're makdim Kriyas HaMegillah. Now let's ask the following question. If, for example, the 14th of Adar falls on Shabbos, so then we're not going to read the Megillah on Shabbos. We have the famous Gzeira Derabba, and we're going to read the Megillah either, according to some, on Yud Gimel, which means Makdim Liyom HaKnisa, or Yud Beis on Yom HaKnisa, or on Yud Gimel on Friday. And that depends on the various shittas in the Tanoim that we discussed at great length. But when is Purim, my friends? And this is going to be an afkemina legabi seudas Purim. And there are basically a number of different possibilities in this case. One way of saying it is that just like we cannot postpone Megillah, but rather we have to be makdim Megillah, make it an earlier date, so too we cannot postpone the seudas Purim. And therefore, in this case, the Sudas Purim will take place on Friday, or maybe even as early as Thursday. The other possibility is to say, no, let's eat the Sudas Purim on Shabbos. That's not a violation of Shabbos. And the third possibility is to say, in this case, we can push off the Sudas Purim till Sunday. So this, my friends, is the subject of Yerushalmi. The Bavli does not address the question of when Sudas Purim should take place in a case where Purim falls on Shabbos. So let me read to you the language of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, and I quoted here from the Yalkut HaBi'urim, Su'udas Purim ma'achrim v'lo makdimim. We're going to postpone Sudas Purim, which sounds like that we're going to eat Sudas Purim on Sunday. Very interesting. The Ran is going to go ballistic because we have a principle called v'lo yavar, that we don't, you know, Megillah is the exception to the rule, but Megillah establishes a principle within the, I should say like this, Purim is the exception to the rule, and Megillah is just is the most profound expression of that rule that applies to Purim, and that's Makdimim v'lo ma'achrim, but it's the whole enterprise of Purim as a package deal, including the Sudas Purim. Here in the Yerushalmi, it says that we're going to eat the Sudas Purim on Sunday. Now let's go on in the Yerushalmi. Hikshar Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira asked the following question. Amaylo yasu Sudas Purim b'Shabbos? Wait a second. If you're telling me that you have to be makdim the Megillah reading before Shabbos, but Purim itself is on Shabbos, why can't you fulfill the Sudas Purim on Shabbos? In other words, add a little extra wine to your Sudas Shabbos. Rabbi Avo says that it says in the Pasuk, in the ninth chapter of Esther, it says, Lasos osam yimei mishte v'simcha. Let's emphasize the word lasos. Now, you and I might not have put too much emphasis on the word lasos. It just seems like that means they observe the mishta and the simcha on those days. But Rabbi Avo has a whole drasha here on the word lasos. And he says lasos means that these days, as special days, Yudalit and Tesvav, depend upon Bezdin. So the word lasos, according to Rabbi Avo, means that Bezdin is going to establish these days. And this principle applies to Rosh Chodesh as well, right? There's a mitzvah, v'chodesh hazeh lechem, Rosh Chodeshim. This mitzvah is incumbent primarily on Bezdin. Bezdin has to set up the Rosh Chodesh. Bezdin is in charge of the entire Hebrew calendar, so they're going to establish when is Purim, on the 14th and on the 15th. Says Rabbi Avo, Lafuke Shabbos, this comes to exclude Shabbos. Why? Because Simchaso Tluya Bidei Shamayim. That in the case of Shabbos, Bezdin plays no role at all in sanctifying the Shabbos, because Kedusha Shabbos is what's called Kvi V'kayme, from Sheshis Mei Breshis, every seventh day Shabbos. Don't ask me the question from the Gemara that says that if you find yourself in a desert and you don't know, you count 7 days. I mean, that's a pella of a sugya that requires a lot of work. And I know of someone who flies to Taiwan, and I mean, he crosses the international daylight, so he observes 2 days of Shabbos. In Hawaii,
very hard to imagine.
But anyway, Shabbos is something that's kvi v'kayim. It's one day of the week. And therefore, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Purim, which is lasos, means that Bezdin has to tell me, this is the day on which you're going to eat your Sudas Purim and be Mekayim Simchu Mishteh when it comes to Shabbos, because that day has nothing to do with Bezdin. In other words, the special nature of the day is already established by Kviya V'kayimi, and therefore it's not established by Bezdin, and therefore that day cannot be invested with the chiyuv that would generate the mitzvah of Suda. However, Abosai, I want to share with you an insight of the Rav Shlomo Kluger. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Yeah. He has a sefer called Elef Lecha Shlomo. Now, I'm not sure exactly how he fits this into the language of the Yerushalmi, but the svar itself I love. He says the following: Hatam shelo lasos sudas purim b'shabbos, kevan de sudas purim chayav lios ad lo yoda, u b'shabbos the inon zocher es yom haShabbos lekadsho shaloish kechenu milipo. And if I understand what the Elif Magen LeChashlomo is saying, is that the nature and the kiyum of Sudas Purim and Sudas Shabbos are absolutely antithetical. Why? Because Shabbos is meant to be a very serious mood, a contemplative mood in which you remember that today is the Shabbos and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified the Shabbos, whereas Purim is a suda of hupla, you know, to the point to which Ad Lo Yoda.
Some people make Shabbos also Ad Shelo Yoda.
And
that's their zecher.
And now in Toronto, I happen to have seen certain kiddushim. I'm not going to mention which communities I saw it. And it was mamish a kiddush on Shabbos, which was Ad Lo Yoda. Apparently, those people know how to drink the whiskey over there. But somebody told me that this Purim, they're going to be Makayim in Canada, Ad Lo Yoda, in a whole different way. They're serving certain cookies, and out of that, that's going to be enough Ad Lo Yoda. Now, do those cookies have the COR? I don't know.
They're laced brownies, don't worry. They're from the 60s.
Wait a second. Let's put it in perspective. Marijuana is legal now.
That's what I'm telling you.
In Canada.
Is the COR, Hector, on these cookies.
I don't know. It's plant-based. What do you need the COR for? What, are you afraid of bugs?
That's a good idea.
Bugs in your marijuana. Oh, you can't smoke that one.
Well, that you could kill the bugs already with smoke.
You know, we're learning the Sefer Megill this year, right? So by Purim time, if you take a trip to Canada, I hope you'll bring back some cookies for me.
Oh, yeah.
Again, you might get locked up in jail.
That's right. That's another story. That's right. I learned one thing. When I worked here in Israel, I learned one line to live by. Ani lo yeshev bekele bishvil af achad.
All right, so you won't bring me cookies. Anyway, so here's what goes on. So again, I don't know how to fit this interpretation into the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi seems to say that the reason why Shabbos, you know, has a monopoly on the Suda as a Suda Shabbos, and it doesn't invite, you know, the element of Purim into that Suda, is because Purim depends upon Lassos, about Bezdin, and Shabbos is not dependent upon Bezdin. He says, Reb Shloimeh, that you can't convert a Suda Shabbos into a Suda Purim. It's a Tarti Desasri. They're mutually exclusive. Okay. Now the plot grows thicker. Mevur b'divrei Yerushalmi. Let's just summarize the bottom line in the Yerushalmi. Kishachal Purim b'Shabbos. And again, it matters not whether you're talking about Yudalid for the Prozim or Tesvav for the Mukafim. Nidches ha-se'udu liyom harishon shaliach. In other words, the Yerushalmi is not bothered. It doesn't even entertain the candidacy of making the Suda on Friday, which is Makdimim, or on Thursday, but rather it has to be pushed off. The Yerushalmi only entertained the candidacy of Shabbos, and the Gemara rejected, the Yerushalmi rejected that candidacy. The Rif actually quotes this Yerushalmi lahalacha. So it sounds like the Rif has paskined, and the Rosh after the Rif, that we have to push off the Suda till Sunday. Right? So it's really interesting, because we're going to have the Megillah reading on Friday, let's say. We're going to skip over Shabbos, which is real Purim, and we're going to have the Suda after Purim, in the case where you dal chal b'Shabbos. Hikshar Ran. Now the Ran is going to ask Awakasha, how could you Yerushalmi say Ya'achru? Hamukafim es sudas Purim liachar tesvav. Now wait a second. In the case of Yudalid, he's not so bothered by this, because then, at least, tesvav is a day of Purim, and it's a day of, you know, Purim for the Mukafim. So if the Ayaros, if the Prozim will celebrate Purim in terms of the Suda on Sunday, it's the 15th of Adar. That's not catastrophic. But if, on the other hand, we're talking about the Mukafim, and that's explicit in the Yerushalmi, that the Mukafim, when Shabbos falls out on the 15th of Adar, will postpone their Suda till Sunday. That's on the 7th. That's on the 16th of Adar. Frekdaran v'lo yavar k'siv. The pasuk says lo yavar. Now the plot grows even thicker here. Why? Because apparently, the Yerushalmi, which again, I don't have the Yerushalmi in front of me, so we'll have to research this, went even a step further. And the Yerushalmi said that the Bnei Hayoros, in a case where your Dalid falls on Shabbos, they're going to postpone the Kriya till the Achar Yadal. So even in Kriya Samagila, they don't have, the Yerushalmi is totally oblivious to this principle of Lo Yavar. And that's against our Mishnah. Again, the Yerushalmi has the power to disagree with the Mishnah, but the Ran is very perplexed by this. Heich b'nei hayoros ya'achrus ha'kriya li'achar yudalid. How could that possibly be that we're going to delay the kriya till after yudalid? Hallo, b'azhara, we have an azhara, the Torah, the Megillah warns us, v'lo yavar, and v'lo yavar means that the b'nei yudalid should not delay their kriya till after yudalid. So we have a double problem here in the Yerushalmi. Number one, with regard to, let's say, the Bnei Akrochim, they're going to delay and postpone their Suda till Sunday, which is the 16th of Adar. That's a violation of Lo Yavar. And number two, according to the Yerushalmi, apparently, in the case of Megillah for the Bnei Ayoros, they're going to read the Megillah on Sunday. Again, even though Sunday is the 15th for them, which is not terrible, but nevertheless, it still is a violation of Lo Yavar. And there's a fundamental principle of Kedima with regard to both Seudas Purim and with regard to Megillah. Now the Ran asks another kasha, and he says the following: Afilu im nomar de Lo Yavar eino el yachar tesvav. Even if you'll defend the Yerushalmi that if you're a prozid, you can read the Megillah on Tesvav in a case where Sunday is Tesvav, because that's not a violation of Lo Yavar. Aval harei mikol makom, you still violate something, because then it turns out that both the Krachim and the Ayoros are reading the Megillah on the same day. And we have a principle called Zmano Shel Zeh, Lo Kizmano Shel Zeh. Okay. Umimela, says the Ran, Gamas Su'udosim Eilem Li Acher, Elala Soso B'Shabbos. So now the Ran assumes that we should have the Suda on Shabbos itself. Oh, why does the Ran assume that the Suda is on Shabbos? He says the following: even if I accept the Svaris, the very Svaris that we offered, why you cannot fulfill the bits of Suda of Purim on Shabbos, but nevertheless, Shabbos in this case still remains Purim. And if it remains Purim, then that itself should override any considerations about Seudas Purim, because we have what's called a hekesh between Asiyah and Zechira. If it's Purim as far as Zechira is concerned, meaning if not for Gzeirah D'Rabbah, we'd be reading the Megillah on Shabbos, then the Suda likewise should be eaten on Shabbos. So comes along the Ran with the following answer, and he says the following: the hekesh between Zechira and Asirah and Asiyah only applies on a day in which we read the Megillah Bizmana. And he says the following, I'll prove it to you. With regard to the Bnei Kfarim, we have the Kfarim, right, the villages, we have a din of Kedima, and they read it on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Yet the Gemara establishes that the Suda and the Simcha is only Bizmana. So we see that if the reading of the Megillah is postponed, then we can separate between Asiyah and Zechira, and we could have the Suda's Purim on a different day. Again, it's a little bit odd, because in that case, the Bnei Kfarim will celebrate Purim on Yudalid together with all of Klal Yisrael, and they'll eat their Suda's Purim. I don't know exactly how the Ran makes this equation, but in any event, let's go on. He says, K'mochein, Masha Omu Sheyesh Isa V'lo Yavar, when does this violation of Lo Yavar apply? Hanu Rak L'inyin Ichur HaKriya V'lo Ala Su'uda. So therefore, once we are uprooting the mitzvah of Megillah from its proper time, it's Megillah Shelo Bizman, and that we have to do because of Shabbos, then the Suda in this case can be postponed until a later date. Even if that later date is Tes Zayin Be'Adar, because there's no violation of Lo Yavar. So here's another, you know, we've been discussing over and over again, is there a fundamental difference between Megillah Bizman and Megillah Shelo Bizman? And we discussed the question whether we require Asara, and Rav seems to assume that Megillah Shelo Bizman requires Asara for Pirsum, but Megillah Bizman doesn't require Asara, and so forth and so on. We pointed out that Megillah Shelo Bizman separates the Megillah from from the celebration of Purim and the Asiya of Purim. Here we have another nafkamina to add to the list. The difference between Megillah Bisman and Shalom Bisman is whether the violation of Lo Yavar applies. Can we celebrate Purim on a date beyond the 15th of Adar? And the answer is that if we've already undermined the Megillah reading, so we've in a sense stripped Purim of its main feature. You know, it's like the in a movie you have, what do you call it, the different actors. What's the main actor called? Is there a name for that?
The leading role.
So the leading role of Purim is Megillah. Says the Rambam, once we've knocked off the leading role from Purim, we strip Purim of its leading role, then we no longer have the real Zechira that would be equated with Asiya, because the Zechira and Asiya equation means to integrate the two and form one entity of Purim. But we're not going to do that, because we're already being mocked in the Kriya. Ah, if you're being mocked in the Kriya, then the Asiya is no longer bound by the Velo Yavar. And therefore, he says, we can actually eat the Suda beyond the 15th of Adar. And therefore, he says that Heichon Sheyesh Tam Shemachmosam I Efsha B'Shabbos, if, therefore, you're free of the shackles of Velo Yavar, in this case, where you were mocked in the Kriyas HaMegillah, and now you're asking yourself, when should we eat the Suda? Well, you know what? Let's eat the Suda on a day which doesn't upset Shabbos. And if we have svaris to assume that, you know, the Suda's Purim would upset Shabbos, then let's be ma'acher the Suda, right? Because the only reason why, in the case of Megillah, which is the exception to the rule of ma'acher, we were mocked in, was only because of Lo Yavar. Now, in the case of Megillah Shelo Bizmano, says the Ran, it's a radical chiddush, there's no principle of Lo Yavar. As Memelo, let's go back to the normal principle, the universal principle, that if because of Shabbos you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Bizmano, then you postpone the mitzvah, because that's what we saw in the case of four different mitzvahs, which the Mishnah enumerated. So it comes out that according to the Ran's interpretation, the Yushalmi postulates that we're going to be ma'acher the Suda, and basically Yushalmi wants to see the Suda later than the Kriya. So the Kriya comes first. We're mocked in the Kriya because of Shabbos. We cannot fulfill the Suda on Shabbos. And the reason for that is because it's antithetical to Suda Shabbos. And therefore we're going to postpone the Suda until Sunday, and that will apply in the case of the Mukafim, in the most radical case, where on the 16th of Adar we're going to celebrate Purim in the Ayoras HaMukafos. Okay, so that's what I wanted to see over here, because you know, when we get to the sugya of Purim Mishulash, this is going to be meat and potatoes for us, because you know, you wake up a guy in the middle of the night and ask him, is there such a thing as Purim on the 16th of Adar? And he's going to look at you like you're nuts, and he's going to say to you, but the pasuk says Lo Yavar, and you're going to quote to him this Ran, and you're going to say to him, hey buddy, you didn't know about the Yushalmi and the Ran. So now we're back to the Gemara here on Daf Heyom and Aleph.
That's what I'm thinking about when you're waking up in the
morning. Right.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe that's an admission of where I'm holding. But
right. Okay, fine. Okay, so now we have the list. We have Chagiga and we have Hakel. So now, in the case of Chagiga, if Yontif coincides with Shabbos, then because Chagiga is a carbon yachid, therefore it doesn't override the Shabbos, and we're going to postpone it until later on during the Chag, meaning during Chol HaMoed, and you'll bring the carbon Chagiga. Hakel, when it's, as we said yesterday, it's Motzei Yontif Rishon Shel Sukkis, after the Shemitah year, and we cannot fulfill Hakel on Shabbos, we discussed that yesterday, and therefore we're going to have to postpone it to a later date. Says the Gemara, there's an obvious reason, and that is the logic of Mishum Dakati Lo Mota Zman Chiyuve. You know, you can't start early because there's no such thing as fulfilling a mitzvah that's totally Bizman earlier than the Zman. Until the Zman comes about, the mitzvah and the Chiyuv doesn't emerge, and therefore there's no Shaychus of Kiva mitzvah before the time period. So therefore, if they would be makdim, let's say the Chagiga to before Yontif, or in the case of Hakel, before Motzi Yontif Rishon shall Sukkis, they would not fulfill their mitzvah. Now, Rashi says that this logic applies even to the case of Atzei Kohanim. And the reason for that, you know, the Gemara doesn't mention Atzei Kohanim, but the reason for that is clearly the Karban is a Karban Yochid, and that would not override the Shabbos. And not only that, the Karban has to come after the Eitzim. So he brings the Eitzim, and then only afterwards can he bring the Karban. Before he brings the Eitzim, it's not Shaykh to bring the Karban. The Ran writes that it's impossible to be Makdim Zman Atzei Kohanim to Erev Shabbos, so the Ran says the following, that although we wanted to make a very nice we called it yesterday a chupar, you know, a gift to recognize the gratitude for these eight families, and we blocked off 8 days during the year for them to bring the eights into the Mizbeach, but nevertheless the rest of the year is dedicated to the various Mishpachos and Klal Yisrael, and therefore they didn't want to bump off the mishpachos of Klal Yisrael for the sake of these eight mishpachos. You know, it's one thing to block off the dates. And he says, "She'ena yochol lit likanes litchum chavero." He would be trespassing. Shehu mesapek vi oso shavua, because his friend or that family is going to supply the eitzim on that day. Okay, Tana, we learned in a brisa, Chagiga v'chol zman chagiga ma'achra. This is a very vague brisa. We understand that in the case of Chagiga, if the first day of Yontif, let's say, coincides with Shabbos, we have to postpone the Chagiga. Bishleim Chagiga di mikla v'shabata, if Yontif falls out on Shabbos, ma'achra in there. We have to delay the Korban Chagiga, lebos Shabbos, until Sunday. El is man chagiga. What do you mean vechol zman chagiga? That's a very ambiguous phrase. Maihi. What does that mean? Zman chagiga. The Gemara offers three different answers to this question. Omra voshaya hachi kamer. This is what the Braisa has in mind. V'Shabbos. In the case of Shabbos, that Yontif, the first day of Yontif falls on Shabbos, and we could only bring the Korban on Chol, but v'ol asre'iya afilu b'yontif dizman chagigahu. Okay, now the Gemara establishes here that since ol asre'iya, which means the Korban that has to be brought for the ole regel three times a year, that Korban has a special status. And afilu biyontif dizman chagiga ma'achrim. And the chiddush here is v'chol zman chagiga ma'achrim, meaning just like we postpone the Korban chagiga in a case where yontif falls on Shabbos, so too the Bryce wants to go a step further and say olas re'iya, which has a special power to it and a special status, nevertheless, if it falls on Yontif, then we have to postpone it. So this is the pshat in the braisa now, according to Rav Oshia. Chagiga means the Korban Chagiga. We'll bring the Korban Chagiga on Yontif, but not on Shabbos. So on Yontif, there's no din of Dechia, and there's only din of Dechia on Shabbos. Now the Braisa goes ahead and says v'chol zman chagiga, which means that if Yontif is chal on Chol on a weekday, that's called zman shel chagiga ma'achrin. But nevertheless, there's still a karban that we have to delay, even on Yontif itself. So again, chagiga will only be delayed and kowtowed to Shabbos, but Yontif we can bring the karban chagiga. But there's one karban which we're going to have to be ma'acher until after Yontif, and even on Yontif, even though Yontif is on Chol, we can't bring that karban. That's called the Olas Re'iya. Why can't we bring the Olas Re'iya on Yontif if it's Chol? Mani, who's the author of this shita? Beis Shammai. Now here, Rabosa, we're getting into a fundamental machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai about the issue of bringing karbonos on Shabbos. On Yontif. Why? Because the Torah says that you're allowed to do malacha on Yontif for ochel nefesh, for the sake of eating. But certain karbonos, for example, the classical case is Ola, that's not going to be eaten at all. It's completely consumed on the Mizbeah. So on this, we're going to have a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Now, this machlokas is going to be relevant not only to whether we bring the carbon, but also whether we do smicha on the carbon. Because normally, before you bring the carbon and shecht it, you do what's called smicha. And we'll soon see that that's a problem on Yontif. So let's see Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai holds Mevi'im Shlomim B'Yontif. Now Shlomim, for example, Chagigo, Ashalmi Simcha, those are Korbanos we eat the Basar. So therefore, that's considered Ochel Nefesh. However, Ein Somchen Aleihem. In this case, although in every case of Shlomim, we do what's called Smicha on the Korban, and the Bala Korban has to lean his entire body on the head of the Korban, here, in this case of Yontif, even though we're allowed to be makir of the shlom, we have to omit smicha. And why is that? So again, you might say this is muktzah, but it's not exactly muktzah. Again, we'd have to really go through many sugyas in beitza to appreciate this. But there's something called iser hishtamshus bebalei chayim on Shabbos and Yontif. We're not allowed to use animals on Shabbos and Yontif. And this is what's called a shvus derabbanan. The Rabbanim did not allow Hishtamshus Bebalei Chaim, and in the case, so the classical case would be riding an animal. Here we're not riding the animal, but Beit Shammai wants to say that Smicha is also considered using the animal, and therefore it's a violation of this Iser Hishtamshus Bebalei Chaim, and it doesn't override the Shabbos, and not only Shabbos, but Yontif, because here we're talking about Yontif.
Yeah.
So therefore, Beit Shammai is going to say, here's a carbon that we're going to bring without smicha. Usually smicha proceeds directly right before shechita. Here, let him do the smicha on Erev Yontif, but he can't do the smicha on Yontif. Oh, now, what about a carbon ola? We've been talking about a carbon shlomim. Says Beit Shammai, have a low ola. So in the case of an ola, which is kulo kolil, there's no achilas adam, there's no tzorech achila, and therefore the pasuk of ach asher yochel chol nefesh, hu levadu yosel lachem, lachem means for yourself. Here in the case of carbon ola, there is achila, but it's not achilas adam, it's not lachem, but rather it's achilas mizbeah. Oh, so the ola is not included under lachem. That's the shita of Beit Shammai. And it sounds like according to Beit Shammai, if you were to bring an Olas Re'i on Yontif, you would violate an Issa Doraisa because it's not included in Lachem. And if it's not included in Lachem, there's no Heter Vokal Nefesh. Beis Hill Omrim, Mevi'im Shlomim V'Olos. You're allowed to bring on Yontif not only a Korban Shlomim, which is eaten to the Bailim or eaten to the Kohanim, but you're even allowed to bring an Olas Re'iya on Yontif. And even though it's not Lachem in the technical sense, but Beis Hillel has a different drush of the word Lachem. Lachem is the exclusion of non-Jews. We don't allow any Malacha for the sake of feeding non-Jews on Yontif. But for the sake of feeding the Mizbeach on Yontif, in the case of an Olas Re'iya, that we're allowed to do. So there's a fundamental machlokas here between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai as to whether or not we could be shochet and be maktir a carbon olas re'iyah on Yontif. Beit Shammai prohibits it and Beis Hillel permits it. It all depends on how you interpret the word lachem. Is lachem limited, as Beis Hillel would have it, only to exclude nachrim? Or as Beit Shammai would say, it excludes anything but achilas adam. Whether it's nachrim or mizbeach or gavoh, it doesn't make any difference. What about smicha? Beis Hillel mevi'im shlomim ve'olas re'iyah v'somchim aleihem. In other words, Beis Hillel say that if the Torah allows you to bring this carbon on Shabbos, then the whole enterprise, even the smich, has to be allowed. And this is based on a principle called samuch l'shchita smicha, that smicha has to take place right before shchita. It's not enough to allow the smicha on Erev Yontif. That smicha on Erev Yontif will not be mitzuruf, will not link up to the shchita on Yontif. Rav has a different pshat in the Braisa, and then we'll see Rav Ashi has a third pshat. Let's just quickly see if we can fit in Rav's pshat in the Braisa. Rav Omar, this Braisa is totally dedicated to Chagiga. So we're not going to introduce any other Karbonos. So what does it mean, Kol Zman Chagiga? Chagiga v'Kol Zman Chagiga. The Braisa is addressing the following issue. If the first day of Yontif, let's say, is Shabbos, then we can postpone the Chagiga. But how far can we postpone the Chagiga? As long as it's Regel, as long as it's Yontif, right? Let's say you have 7 days of Yontif, so it makes sense that you could bring the Korban Chagiga. If you couldn't bring it on the first day, which was Shabbos, bring it in the balance of Yontif. However, Kol Zman Chagiga, as long as it's still Zman Chagiga, which means during the Regel, is Ma'achrim, then you can delay and postpone the bringing of the Chagiga, but Tfei Lo, beyond the time period, which is called Zman Chagiga in the Lashon of this Braisa, you can't bring a Korban Chagiga. And the Rosh Hashia goes ballistic. He says, Pshita, how could you possibly entertain the idea and the Braisa to come Lafuke, that you could delay the Korban Chagiga until after the Moed? Chagiga has to be on the Moed. It's meaningless to bring a Korban Chagiga after the Moed. So therefore the Rosh Hash reinterprets this Gemara, and he says that what Rav is coming to tell us in his understanding of the Braisa is that it's possible that you could be makriv a Korban Chagiga even on Yontif Shabbos. Wow, that's wild. And here's how he explains Rav. Chagiga kol zman chagiga ma'achrim. Meaning, as long as there's a possibility to bring the Korban Chagiga during the balance of Yontif, then we'll postpone the Chagiga. But there's one scenario in which we don't have the possibility of postponing the Chagiga as a result of Shabbos. And that's called Tfei. Right? You see the word Tfei in the Gemara. Mm-hmm. Says the Rosh Hashanah, what does it mean Tfei? Tfei means that if, after Shabbos, it's no longer Yontif. Let's say, for example, the last day of Yontif is on Shabbos. Now, if we delay the Karma until Motzei Shabbos, till Sunday, then it's impossible because Yontif is already over. In such a case, since they don't have another option of being Makriv the Karma, we're talking about the Chagiga, is Ein Ma'achrin, Tfei Lo Ma'achrin. We're going to be Makriv the Karma on Shabbos. This is a Pella, Rabbo say. Now, I'm not learning Kodshim, so I'm not responsible for the Rosh Hash, but how can you be Docha Shabbos in a Korban that doesn't have the power to be Docha Shabbos simply because otherwise you'll undermine the Korban and it's null and void? Is that enough for a reason to override Shabbos?
But there's a lot of things that are Docha Shabbos.
Yeah, but again, you only override Shabbos for a Korban that's related to Shabbos. Here, the Korban coincidentally falls out on Shabbos simply because I have no Brera, meaning this Korban is not related to Shabbos. But I got myself into a tizzy here.
Yeah, but if Chag falls on Shabbat, then it's related to the day. It's related to.
You want to say that now? Yeah, but again, let's say the first day of Yontif on Shabbos, you're not going to bring the Korban Chagiga. Even the Rosh Hashanah agrees to that. Yeah. You can't bring the Korban Chagiga on Shabbos. No. But
you have an option. But
if you don't have an option.
Yeah, but again, with all the respect, we don't have a din of being Docha Shabbos for the sake of a Korban. There is no such din. Right, there are many things that are docha Shabbos, like pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos, or a carbon that has to be brought on Shabbos. But here, there's no relationship between the carbon.
Maybe he's saying that this is a carbon that has to be brought on Shabbos.
I promise you, Asher, you got to trust me on this one. The Rosh Hashanah is based on a much more profound understanding here than what we understand. with all the respect, we can sit here pontificating, but the Rosh Hashanah is saying something very profound about the nature of Chagiga and its relationship to Shabbos. Okay, then.
Pirush is written.
So we'll stop here. Believe me, there. Okay, tomorrow we'll finish up Rava, and we'll talk about Rav Ashi, and the Mirtz Hashem will get to Daf Hei Amid Beis. Okay, that's the goal for tomorrow. Okay, thank you very much.